Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. Well, in this program, we answer the questions that you have related to Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. Well, today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who's a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
For quite a long time, we have been discussing about the relationship between parents and children, be that love and respect and the affection that should be shown. Well, today, I want to ask you something related to love, but what teens misunderstand as love. Well, there are children, especially the teens, who are crazy about celebrities, or they just because of what they appear like. How can we actually help them understand the real meaning of love, to make idols on the basis of inner beauty, not what actually some celebrity or someone looks like?
Yes, thank you very much. I suppose most human beings are very much glued to what they see apparently. We're not used to looking at things in depth manner.
Yeah.
So normally when you talk about good things or bad things, you're talking about tangibles. You're talking about things which can be seen.
All right.
For example, in everyday events that are happening around us, people want to see things which can be measured, which can be shown around and boasted about or talked about. Things which are below the surface, beneath the surface of our apparent features, that is not very much, people can't understand what's happening below the surface. Whereas when we're talking about human behavior, when we're talking about human conduct, when we're talking about human beings, most of what's going on in them is below the surface. As I've mentioned before, the example of the iceberg. The thing which is apparent is above the surface, but much more is below the surface of the water. So actually, that is one of the problems we as human beings face.
Colorful things. So we actually judge things apparently. That's our problem.
We don't look beyond what's happening beneath the surface. That is one problem. Secondly, as human beings, we have a natural attraction towards beautiful things, towards beauty. We have that aesthetic sense, and that aesthetic sense is has a very influential role in human lives. All our fine arts, music, culture, much of it is developed as a result of that aesthetic sense that we have for beauty. For example, when we look at a good painting, we are very much obsessed by that painting, for example. And we feel very much, it has a soothing effect on our eyes. We feel good about it. But we're not looking deep enough to find out that that beauty which has been shown on the canvas is something which has come out of a human being.
Yeah.
It's an expression of the human being's beauty which he himself or herself find is there within her or within him, who has been able to express that in a beautiful manner.
Yeah.
So last night I was watching a program on TV. It was talking about films and whatever. There was an opinion being mentioned that when you look at a film, you shouldn't say it's a good film or a bad film. You should say it's the director who's the creator of that is good or bad.
You should not be judging things on a movie, just the apparent things. Well, we'll discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Naqvi, and we're talking about not to be judging things apparently, what children usually do when they actually have that sense of choosing an idol. They love the idols, they love the celebrities, or they love anyone who they want to make the idols of their lives on the basis of apparent features they have. But Professor Naqvi is actually helping us to take a deep dive into the things.
Yes, as I was saying, now, so apparent features do matter. It's not that we're negating the importance of the apparent features. But still, there's something beyond that which we have to be cognizant about and understand. And especially when we're talking about human beings, of course, when we're talking about objects, when we're talking about paintings or maybe ceramics or pottery or whatever, even in that, the apparent things are command a lot of respect and a lot of attraction. But as I said, there also we can look beyond that and see who has created them. In this, when we come to human beings, then that should be, again, a major factor. Should not just be the apparent features of a human being. The beauty, which is apparently there, is one aspect of the beauty of a human being. For example, when we talk about the creator of human beings, when we talk about Allah Almighty,
all right,
and he says he's the creator of this beauty, and we have this expression in Allah Jamil wa yuhibbul Jamal. He himself is beautiful.
Indeed.
And he loves beauty because he is the creator of that.
Yeah.
But whatever has been created by him, especially human beings, has been created in a beautiful manner, the best possible manner.
Yeah.
And that reflects his own internal, inherent, intrinsic beauty, which is there in Allah Almighty.
Indeed.
In the same way, human beings, what happens on the surface is important. There are two things. One, the apparent features, of course, over which they have no control. Whatever God has created them to be, they are their apparent facial features or whatever their body features. It's something which is they have no control over. But what they do have control over is their behavior.
Yeah.
And is their conduct and
true,
in their how they manage themselves.
Yeah.
So that is important. And that reflects what is from within. It reflects their inner beauty. So we have to go down into that. Loving people, loving things for their beauty is not just because we like them.
All right.
We feel attracted to them. That's a human instinct.
Okay.
That's not the nature, the true nature of human beings is much beyond that.
All right. Well, we'll be discussing more on the important topic after going for a short break. So stay tuned with us.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is Islamic Upbringing. We have had the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Naqvi, and we're discussing about the judgment of love on the basis of apparent features. Is that correct or not? That often develops in the children because they judge people, idols, whosoever they are their mentors, on the apparent features. Professor Nakavi, one thing that you have made very clear over here is that even loving people on the basis of their apparent features cannot be said it's completely wrong. You made us two things very clear. The first thing was that not apparent beauty is everything. So there's something that lies behind, deep down behind this. And what matters more than that is the inner beauty. This number two, which is much more important, was that whatever the beauty you're seeing, be that apparent or the inner beauty, you should be going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of that beauty. So we must develop a sense in the child that whenever he sees such beauty, be that in the form of a human being, be that in the form of any aesthetic form, the art, the or whatever, the culture, anywhere. So the thing that should come on to his onto his lips is should be Fatabarakallah Ahsan al-Khalikin.
Yes, exactly. That's where you put it beautifully. So we, again, beyond that, understanding what beauty, a true beauty is something which is lies below the surface through which that outward beauty is expressed. And what is within the control of the human being is his behavior, his expressions, or how he deals with other people, how he empathizes with them, how he talks to them, how he respects them, how he takes care of their needs. Love is not just being attracted and showing some, expressing some feelings of love, or maybe it's much beyond that. It's not love is not just looking at the good things about a person. It's looking at the negative things also.
Right.
I mean, when we talk about Allah Almighty, he does not hate his subjects. He does not hate his own creations. He loves them. He loves all of them. What he does not like is the behavior, their conduct, what the human beings, if they are not, they do not behave properly, they do not conduct themselves in a proper manner, they do something which is offensive, that is which makes Allah Almighty angry.
All right.
It's not that the intrinsic nature of human beings is beautiful, because it is the creation of Allah Almighty. So
yeah,
we should also learn from Allah Almighty.
Indeed.
To love people, not because of their apparent features, because number one, they are human beings. Each
right.
and every person is a human being who has a soul which has been created by Allah Almighty in His own image. So the inherent beauty of every human being is there for us, even people who do not, for example, accept Allah Almighty. They are human beings, and we believe that each and every human being has dignity.
Yeah.
Has to be respected, has
Indeed.
To be honored, has to be taken care of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so much so that the Quran says if you take the life of one human being, it's as if you're taking the life of all
humanity.
Beings. If you provide life to one human being, you are providing life to all human beings, because humanity is a common feature which is there in all human beings. It's something, the human aspect, the divine aspect of all human beings is there, and that is dignified, and that has to be respected, and that has to be loved. Our pouring of affections, it should not be because of apparent things. It should be not based on the behavior of people. It should be looking towards the inner,
deep down,
that every person is a human being, even a person who seems to be so wretched and apparently is shabby, or is not even, he's a human being, so it has to be. So that love should be for that inner aspect. Then comes the behavior that he's being able to manage. So
yeah,
we'll talk about that more.
Yeah, inshallah, we'll be talking about that more. So what is clear over here is that just judging people on their apparent features, whatever they have, and then saying that we love them, we got to make understand our kids some of the things that not apparent things are everything. Number two, all the beauty that you see goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beautiful creator. He lies behind all the beauty around the world. And number three, love is quite different than liking things, because love also involves something you love you also don't only see the goods, you also see the bad part of that person. So these children, when they grow up, they don't find difficulty in, you know, managing their relationships. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.